Church was where there is a time of trouble or of struggle, there is also what? Opportunity. What's the Chinese word, Lee Chan? Right, what Lee Chan said. There is opportunity in these times, and so we need to be encouraged, brothers and sisters, just like everyone has done so well today, in helping us to be encouraged and to know that there are great possibilities for us. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus being our King. Because Jesus has conquered death on the cross. And He's risen from the dead and He's alive and well. And He is at work in this world. And because He is, in all circumstances, we know that God works good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen? It is a time of excitement and anticipation every day. It doesn't matter what happens. There have been years and years and years of existence of mankind, and God has been a part of every one of them. And He's been there, and He's still here today, and He will always be. And so we have great hope. I don't know much about, you know, I'm not going to get into the Chinese sayings for New Year and stuff like that, but I would imagine that there is a word there for hope into the new year. If there isn't, then we need to inject it because it needs to be there. It's not good to just say you're going to have prosperity. You are going to have hope. Hope in Jesus. And that is really what the focus is for the people of Thessalonica, and we're going to be taking a look at this. Okay? We're going to be taking a look at this because God is preparing us with this theme that we have, not I, but Christ, to make a difference and to be a part of those possibilities that God is going to do and bring about in this world around us, where we live, wherever you live, whatever life you have a part in right now. God is going to use you as a disciple of Christ, and we want to know what that is. We have a lot of exciting things coming up. We have a board meeting the other day. We had a missions committee meeting yesterday. We had plans that are put in place for exciting things. One of the things is going to be on the 1st of February, where we're coming together and we're going to have fun and fellowship, and we're going to eat good dumplings that people are actually going to make themselves. Hopefully you won't eat one of mine, but you will get one from someone else and you will enjoy it. And that's a time that we are looking at as making a difference. Why? Because we're going to be inviting people to see that Christians are celebrating Christ in this way. We come together to eat and to benefit from the goodness of God and the things that we believe, to celebrate Him and have fun doing it. And that is, who would reject an invitation like that? So make it. This is a day of obedience. I'm telling you, you need to invite somebody. Now it's up to you. It's in your court. The ball is in your hand. You have to do something. Who are you going to invite? Do you believe in this? Or are you just going to come and eat? Are you just going to come and roll the and then stuff your face with the things that we eat there? Are we going to say, no, it's more than just dumplings. It's an opportunity in a world that is afraid of death and feeling that death is the end of it all and there's no more after that. Or are you going to say, no, I believe in Jesus Christ, and we're having this fellowship to invite you to know Him so that you can have hope, so that you can have real prosperity that is going to go into eternity. That is what God wants for us in this church. And we have many other things coming up. We have a winter conference for the young people, a fabulous time. What? It's all surrounding Christ. Going to learn about Jesus and how to become more like a Christian. We're going to have a short-term mission, right? There's going to be plans for that. There's going to be plans for other things too. We're going to be making announcements soon from the mission committee to show you how the missionaries that we support want us to be involved in their mission work. And that's coming soon. And so there's that. There's opportunities for you to be involved in all kinds of things in our church. Right? Fellowship times. I was sitting there today and I was looking up and I remember that I was given a beautiful shirt to wear from Indonesia, and I haven't worn it yet, so I was thinking, why don't we have a fellowship, and everybody getting into the spirit, like Susan is wearing her mom's vest today, you know, and it's a very meaningful thing for her, and it's Chinese, right, it's celebrating the Chinese New Year, and if you have something like that, then you can wear something to a fellowship that night that represents your culture or your thing, and we come together and just invite people to come in and do that for their lives too. We have numerous things that we can do taking what we have now that we're not using. Would you agree with that? You all have things that you have that you could be using in your life for the benefit of God's kingdom, and we need to get into that and start to do it. And so this is all setting up what we're going to learn here in 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to go through this book. The reason we're doing this book is because I have been doing a Bible study with someone from the Navigators, and they use Thessalonians as a basis for the last lesson on learning what it means to be a disciple. And it's a really, really great book that you can use. There's seven in the series, and you can disciple someone, and you can use those. But I think that, I was thinking, why not just share it with everybody? So here we go. We're going to take a look at 1 Thessalonians. On your outline, in your bulletin today, it says, the mark of a disciple. There's going to be four different sermons based on Thessalonians. The first one is the mark of a disciple. What are signs that a person is a disciple of Christ? Okay, and we're going to take a look at this in this example in the first chapter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are disciples. They are people who are taking the time to write the people in Thessalonica because they planted the church there. The church was started by them, and they were driven away by the people there because people hated Christians, and there was a lot of affliction. So they took off and they left there. They had to leave because their lives were in danger, and they did other work in other places. But the people that remained there were Christians that were coming to faith, that had come to faith through Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. And so they're writing them to keep the connection going. And that's the one thing you have to keep in mind when you're a disciple of Christ. You're connected to other people, and we have a responsibility to one another. And that is a big lesson that maybe not written there, but we see that he took the time, that these three men took the time to write the church and say, we are praying for you, and we are there with you, and we are really missing you. And we see that all through the book, all through the letter, right? So that's one of the reasons. So Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are disciples of Christ, and they take the time for other people to care for them. And so we need to keep that in mind. One of the marks of a disciple, we go from the beginning here, is God the Father. God the Father has to mean something to you. You have to have a relationship with God the Father if you're a disciple, right? Following Jesus Christ. God the Father was the one that sent his Son into the world to die for our sins. And so we need to have this relationship with him. That is a mark of a disciple of Christ. Jesus Christ, obviously, it says right here, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just Paul writing a letter to say, how are you? He is writing them in the Father and in the Son, Jesus Christ. So there's a connection there, and he's doing that very purposefully, saying that this is what I'm about, and this is what our relationship is about. Right? I had a friend when I was growing up. He's now a friend of mine. He was an advisor of mine when I was in high school. And I really liked him a lot, and I really felt close to him and everything like that. But he took me aside one day and he said, John, because of our age difference, I know that we're friends and things like that, but my responsibility to you is as your mentor in Christ. It is through Christ that we have been brought together here, and he made that very clear to me. It's not just that we're friends and we go get a burger down at Holstein's in Bloomfield. That's where we used to go. We would go there and have a burger together right there, and he would spend time with me, but he didn't just spend time with me. He prayed with me. And sometimes I wasn't in the mood for it. And I was like, why do we have to do this? But I did it, and it stayed with me all of my life. People who are disciples are connected through Jesus Christ. And you could be nice and you can be caring about them, but if you leave Jesus out of the relationship, you're not doing your job as a disciple. You have to have this kind of relationship. You have to understand that, and we have to have that in our church too. Okay, it's his church. A disciple of Christ is associated with the church, right? He's writing there. We give thanks to God. Wait, let's go back. To the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So it's this church there that he is writing to. Right? We think of church all the time, but Paul was writing way back then to this church, the people who were established in Jesus Christ that way. And then he goes on and say, grace to you and peace. So grace and peace are a part of the vocabulary that a disciple has to use. And he's greeting them in that way. It's not like just what's up. It's saying grace and peace to you. And so I am obeying Christ and using language that is going to associate us with one another. And our relationship is going to be formed around that. And so we need to look at each other that way, even at a dumpling-making kind of a thing. We need to understand that at the heart of all that stuff, and every dumpling is going to be Jesus Christ formed in the people that are going to eat this dumpling, man. Do you believe that? That a dumpling can be used for the glory of God? I do. Love is poured out in many different ways. Right? So we have to take this very seriously. We have fun and we're doing this stuff, but we are the servants of God and we are going to make those dumplings for his glory, man. Right? And that's the focus here of a disciple. They do these things, right? So thankfulness. We are praying, prayer and thankfulness. Praying and in thankfulness for you and all of your faith that you have there. What makes you thankful? Right? You can name a different kind of things, but are you thankful for those who are in our church? Thankful to God. Getting up in the day, if you don't have anything else to be thankful for, you can be thankful for the person who's sitting next to you right now. And in fact, you should take a look and see who's next to you right now and think, I am going to make a point, as soon as I have a prayer time, I'm going to pray for that person and give thanks. You want to see great things happen? Do it. Do that. It brings about an amazing change. The world changes when people are obedient to God's word. When we do those things, right? So this is, I divided it this way in your outline, that these are the things that are describing Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, but it actually really goes beyond that into the next section in the church and believers of Thessalonica, and it remains in Paul and those people there. So these are the marks of disciples in Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, and now in the church, believers of Thessalonica. This is really, really, really great. What do they have that is going to describe this church? It's a working faith. A working faith, a belief that is working, that is doing something, that's going on. It's not just a faith of the mind. It's not just the mind or even just staying in the heart. It is being worked and it's being done. And that is what a disciple does. A disciple is a work in faith. It's a faith that is doing something. And that's what God wants us to pay attention to. It's a labor of love. Think about these things. When you get a letter from someone and they say, I really, really am excited because I heard about your working faith and your labor of love. And I heard about the conviction that you have in what you believe in. Right? That's what you were talking about today, Anthony. It's like conviction. What do we really believe? What are we doing here? Is it being exhibited somehow? Or are we too full of our own insecurities? Right? Or are we really buying into this whole thing that our culture tends to be kind of quiet and shy? Baloney. Baloney. No one who has a life and a heart and blood flowing through their veins is just shy, and that's just the way they are. Because I know people who were shy and had that lie going on in their lives, and they came to Christ, and now look at them. They are completely changed. And they talk about it. I used to be like this, but now not anymore. I am a different person, man. I am a changed person. Why are you so excited about life? Well, it's because Jesus. Right? How come you're so happy? Why do you feel so content about your life? Well, it's because of Jesus. You know, it's because my life was changed because I realized that God loves me. Right? And that's being expressed here. I have a faith in Jesus because he came into my life and he came at a time where I really, really was fighting with my parents, or I was fighting with something, or I was doing something. I was caught up in sin. I was following a different road. And Christ came into there miraculously and pulled me out of there, told me he loved me, forgave my sins, and gave me eternal life. Who wouldn't be happy? Who wouldn't be expressing joy in their life? And that means in those instances where we do, and Christians come under attack and they also have bad days, in those bad days, we never forget the hope that we have that Jesus is alive and well. And because he is, I have hope for any situation. And any relationship, in any kind of work thing, in any kind of school thing, there is no place for hopelessness. It is filled with hope because Jesus is real. And that's what my life is going to be. And as a disciple, I am going to tell you that life is hard, but it's not too hard. There is always hope because of Christ. And that is my focus there. I need to practice that as a disciple of Christ. That's a mark of a disciple. Working faith, labor of love, pouring yourself out, persevering hope. Coming to a person. You ever have a person come to you and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen to what happened to me. And you go, wow, that's really hard. That sounds so difficult. What are you going to do? And then you think, I'm going to pray for you. And God is going to come into this situation, and he's going to bring hope into it immediately. That's the first thing that you need to do. A guy, I knew this guy who got into big, big trouble. Right? This was years ago. He came, he was always evading me in church. This is before even when I was a, people evaded me even before I was a pastor. You know, so it was like, see, this guy saw me and he would go the other way, you know, because he knew I was like going to church because I believed. And so he didn't want to do that. And so he would go away, you know, and his wife was a believer. And then one day he got into big trouble. And he came to my house and he sat down and he was like, I'm in big trouble. And he said, I don't know what to do. And I said, I know what you have to do. It was the greatest feeling in the world. I was not the kind of person to run up and grab him by the collar and say, you need Jesus. But at that moment, when he came into my room, into my living room, and he said, I don't know what to do. I said, I know exactly what you need to do. You need to give your life to Jesus. And you know what he did? He did it. And it was real. And I told him, you need to pray this prayer. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, what's going to happen now? And he prayed it word for word after I said it. And from that point on, there was hope in his life. And the situation was doable. And not only that, but there was victory in it. And he's now out of that situation. And his marriage is doing well. And he's doing much better in life. And it's all because he gave his life to Christ. You need to know that you possess what people need. A disciple knows what people need, and they tell them what it is. And you don't have to think about what it is. It's right here. Praying for people. Working in your faith. Laboring in love. Persevering hope. Bringing the message to people when they don't have it. That's what the mark of a disciple is. Right? Belief in Christ, not only in word, he goes on to say, it's not only in word, but in power, the Holy Spirit, and conviction. Hold on to this outline. Go back to this scripture time and time again, because it's filled with truth for a disciple. Belief in Christ, not only in word. It didn't just come to them, and Paul knows he's writing people that didn't just hear the word, and that's it. It wasn't just all about words, it was about power of God and the Holy Spirit changing their lives and conviction that comes from it. And that's what we need. Those three things. To know that we can draw on God's power, that the Holy Spirit is able to do great things through us and in us and indwells us, and then we have a deep conviction about what we believe in. Name one thing, or think. Take a moment for right now and think. What are you most convicted of in your life? What is the thing that causes you to feel, this is it, this is it, and this is what I'm about? Right? Now think of in that way, whatever it is, and now think of Jesus, and think of him as being the one that replaces that other thing. Right? You don't have to give that other thing up, maybe unless God wants you to, but just think of something that you really, really are feel is important in life, and then say to yourself, am I thinking that way about Jesus? Do I have that ability? If I was to share with someone who came into my living room and said, I'm in big trouble, do you know what I should do? Do you have the conviction and the belief and the Holy Spirit, the power of God, to offer them? Or are you going to say, well, let's see if we can't work out something. You know, I can try to get, you know, maybe make some phone calls. Let me try to see if I can get some other people in here so I don't have to deal with this. And, you know, that's what we tend to do. I don't know what to do. This is a major problem. God says, I'm right here. I've given you the solution to all the problems in the world. It's through my son Jesus, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so offer him. Do it. Don't think about it. Do it. And that's what a disciple does. They do things. They act upon their conviction, the Holy Spirit working in them, the power of God. They believe it because God has changed them. Then it goes on to here, imitation of Christ and other Christian leaders. He said, you imitated me and the Lord. Right? Interesting. Paul talks like that. He says, I am here to be an example to other people, and I want you to imitate what I'm doing. He was so grounded in Christ, and he felt that Christ was so much a part of him in his heart that it wasn't really Paul that he was directing them to. It was Jesus. And so and people need an example like that, an imitation of Christ and other Christian leaders. We need to be leaders that are setting an example like that. And then he goes on to this, perseverance and suffering for the sake of Christ. They were suffering at the time that they lived in. People were wanting to kill them because they were following Jesus. They didn't want a part of the same tradition. They didn't want to follow the gods and all the idol worship. They wanted Jesus instead, and they became enemies of them, and they wanted to kill them. And so they persevered in the suffering for the sake of Christ, and we need to be ready to do that. I told you the story about the, you know, feeling self-conscious when a few kids were standing behind me and I had to dance. Think about if I needed to share Christ with someone, the feelings that we have about that. Oh, you know, do I really want to say that to somebody? Don't they have their own belief? You know, are they going to get upset with me or something else like that? And God is saying, tell them. Tell them. They need help. They need me. Do it. Don't think about what's going to happen to you. If you do that, you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about a solution for the people that are in need. Get over it. Give them me. Jesus says that, right? The joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the joy of the Holy Spirit living inside of you? That you feel that you're so close to God and that he's so important to you that you're experiencing that joy of the Holy Spirit? This is not something elusive. This is not just something for some Christians to experience who stand on stage and sing or some other people that speak in tongues or things like that. The joy of the Holy Spirit is for all of us as believers in Christ. And if you don't know what that is, then you need to study your Bible and ask God to show it to you. That's what it takes. Things don't just happen. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given us his word. He gave us the word to read it and to spend time in it and to struggle with it. It's not like you can just say, let me get an easy answer for today. No. Things of great worth take time. Right? Is a person going to achieve a PhD in college by saying, I want this to be given to me. I don't want to work for it. What, are you crazy? You would never think about that. So don't think about that way with God. He's not just somebody you could just have it because it's easy. Nothing in life is easy like that. So why do we make God pay the penalty for all of our stupidity? And think like, oh, I just want an easy way. Just give me something so I can get by today, you know, Lord. And no, I want to give you something that you're going to build up inside yourself so that people's lives are going to be changed. And I'm going to send people to you who are looking for help. And you need to be ready for that moment. And you can you can count on it happening. We're not here to just take up space on this earth. We are here as messengers, disciples of Jesus Christ, to give people hope. Right? Being an example to believers, other people heard about these people. That's the cool thing. He was like, I wrote these people, and I was concerned about you, and we were all concerned about you, and then we went to this other place, and they started telling us that your faith was being lived out in power in the Holy Spirit and with conviction, and that people heard about your faith. It wasn't just something that you did for yourselves, but and you weren't afraid because people were going to kill you for it. You actually were telling people about what you believed, and it was spreading around, and word got around, man. Word got around that these people were actually Christians who believed what they believe. Right? And it was getting around. It's not just because of them. It was because the Holy Spirit was moving around them. The word of the Lord sounds forth. When a disciple is truly a disciple, the word of the Lord pours forth. It goes forth. It sounds forth. It goes out. It does not stay in your house, in your room, in your church, wherever. It goes out, man. There was a pastor at the CMC, and we were gathering together to talk at the end of the CMC, and he said, I have one word to share tonight. Go. That was it. That stuck. Go. Don't stay. Go. Do what God has commanded you to do. Go and tell other people what you believe in. That's a mark of a disciple. Is your faith going out? A faith that speaks for itself. This is all coming from these verses here. A faith that speaks for itself. It's not something that you have to, you know, try to convince people of. It's something you're doing and people see it at work and they believe it because it's real. And then another, a faith that others hear about. Is your faith something that people hear about? If it's not, you can change that today. You need to do it. You need to let people hear what it is that you believe in. And don't you dare listen to what is being taught all around. You can't say that. Why can't I say that? You just told me that I can't say something. Can't I disagree with you? Is our world becoming so wishy-washy and soft that people are just going to like not say anything? Do you think that smart intellectual people that we think are so important in our society and we worship, really? Right? You know, I mean, and people of degrees and things like that, do you think that those people got anywhere by agreeing with everybody's opinion? Well, that's nonsense. I wouldn't want to spend time with someone who just said, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, okay, you know. And that's not what Jesus wants either. He wants people who are going to say, I believe in you because you came in and you took away my sin and I feel it in my heart because it's gone. And I had this terrible impression of myself and feeling about myself and it's gone and now I know that I'm loved. And you know what? Not only that, but I'm empowered by it because it's the real Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit comes into a person who gives their life to Christ. And now I know it's true because I know that the Holy Spirit is in me. I can sense it. And that old man, that old woman, that this other sinful person is gone. And now I have direction in my life. I can tell you that there are many people that are sitting here that would have that testimony if you ask them. We need to tell the story. That is a disciple. That's the mark of a disciple. And then finally, something that has happened in their life because of their faith in Jesus Christ and word gets around and makes an impact through the power of God and His Holy Spirit. Something has happened in their life. What is it? In this case, that something is the believers have turned to God from idols. You can read it. Turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And this is what we need to say. When a person comes to us and asks us, what is it that you believe? I believe in God, and I have turned away from that which was not God, right? That was a fake God, and I've turned my life over to the living God and the true God, and now I am waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And that gift can be yours as well. And I know how you feel if you're feeling kind of like, I don't know if I can do that, because I've been there and I'm there now too. But we need to take this seriously because this is the Word of God. And if we really truly want to call ourselves disciples and we really want to call ourselves a church of Jesus Christ, Grace Church, then we need to be practicing these things. And so we have some homework to do. We need to take these words today and we need to say, God, I've heard this today and I want to be a true disciple. I want to know what a real disciple is. I don't want to be somebody who is going to worship idols anymore. I don't know what that idol is in my life. Maybe I do and I don't want to talk about it. But Lord, identify that idol in my life and it's gone. It is no longer my God. You are my God. You are the only true and living God, and I'm going to serve you. And your son Jesus died for my sins, and he obeyed you. And so from this point on, I am going to be an obedient servant, just like Jesus. I'm going to imitate him, and he's going to be the one to do that. And Lord, even while I'm saying this, because of my sinfulness and my weakness, I know that there's a possibility for me falling down. And so, Lord, you're going to have to pick me up and set me right when I do that, Lord. But I want you, and I'm willing to give my life because you gave your life for me. And when people see that God is real in you and you're not making excuses for him, and you don't want to dance across that room, then they're going to take God seriously. But if we give them a mixed signal and say, I don't know if I really want to talk about him in front of you, then that's exactly the message they're going to get. What message are you giving to people about your faith in Jesus? So we need to take a look at what we are and who we are today and begin with this and say, God, take my life. You can have it and use it for your glory. I want to really take this example of these people there and be someone who doesn't just go through the motions of being a disciple or have it in my head, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and conviction. Amen? Amen? That's what we need to encourage in each other. And it takes all of us helping each other to do that too. God gave us each other also to encourage each other because we fall. And you know what happens? We start to find out stuff about each other that it's uncomfortable. Right? Stuff that you feel that, you know, I don't know if I want people to know about myself. It's going to take some growth of letting go of fear and trusting more and not looking around to see if anybody else is going to hurt us or, you know, what if people find this out. We need to be able to trust that God can use those moments as well so that we get to know each other more than just a hello and how you doing, see you next week. It takes complete involvement, and that's what Jesus did, so we know it can be done. And I think that if we can do that, brothers and sisters, and it doesn't have to be overnight, but if we can start to think about those things and trust that God will be the mediator for us and help us through those things, then we are going to really become like a church in Thessalonica, where they're there for each other's backs, and they're praying for one another, and they know each other, and then it's going to go out, and people are going to say, what is going on at Grace Church? There's something going on there. And when they take a look, they're going to see the things that are written here in this chapter and say, that's what it is. It's God. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit at work. And man, it's exciting. Amen. Do you see that vision for us in our church here? It's hard to imagine sometimes, to be honest with each other and to open ourselves up, but that's what it takes, because that's what Jesus did, and he can help us to do that. So let's pray around that, and let's sing a song together that kind of explains this. Person wrote this hymn, talked about what Jesus became for him when he found him. It says, I found the one of peerless worth. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. We'll sing a few more verses, okay?